All right, today is October 8th, 2018. The Department of Religious Studies at the University of Kansas is conducting a research project that seeks to preserve the history of various churches and other religious organizations in Kansas. We would like to record your memories of your experiences in religious organizations. We expect that each interview will take about 1 hour. We assure you that you are not obligated to participate and may discontinue your involvement at any time. Since we are trying to create a public record of Kansas religious history, we are primarily interviewing persons who agree to let their interviews be available to the general public through a website and to be identified by name as the person who is interviewed. Should you have any questions about the project, please contact Professor Tim Miller at 785-864-7263 or tkansas@ku.edu. If you have any questions about your rights as a research participant, you may call the Human Subjects Protection Office at 785-864-7429 or email mdenning@ku.edu. All right, so first question is, what is your name?
Greta Valentine.
Can you spell that for
me? Yes, first name is Greta, G-R-E-T-A, and last name is Valentine, just like the holiday, B-A-L-E. N-T-I-N-E, if I can spell it right.
And where are you from?
So I grew up in Hillsboro, Kansas, but I've lived in Lawrence for about the past 6 years. Okay. But that's where I would say I was from.
Hillsboro. Yeah. Hillsboro, Kansas. And where did you go to school?
So I was actually homeschooled through my freshman year of high school.
Okay.
And then I went to Hillsboro High School, and I did my undergrad at K-State.
At K-State. Mm-hmm. And did you come to KU for grad?
No, okay. Actually, so I got a master's degree from Emporia State, but this is where I got my first job in that field.
Okay, excellent.
So, yeah.
What are your degrees in?
So my undergrad, my undergrad degree is actually in anthropology. Linguistic anthropology was my concentration, so that was really cool. And then I got a master's in library science because I knew I wanted to work in libraries. So
very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Can I ask what religious tradition you were raised in?
Yeah, so when I was born, and actually like the first few years of my life, the church that my family attended was a Vineyard Christian Fellowship, so kind of a Protestant, a Protestant denomination. But by the time I can remember participating in services, that church had kind of transitioned to just like a non-denominational Protestant church, and that was like what I participated in until I was about 14. So that's like what I grew up as. Yeah.
Okay, cool. What religious tradition would you say you would associate yourself with now?
So I would call myself Eastern Orthodox.
Okay.
And I know that kind of encompasses a lot of different like cultural traditions of Orthodoxy that have their own churches. The one that I go to now is the Orthodox Church in America, which is related to the Russian Church, but Eastern Orthodox kind of covers it for me.
I'm sorry, this isn't on the sheet that I gave you, but around what time would you say you like converted? You stopped going when you were 14 to your previous, was that just because you were like, what's the story?
Yeah, that was kind of an interesting story, actually. So, just for various reasons, we were getting a new pastor at our non-denominational Protestant church. And we found one, and he was our pastor for a couple years, and sort of over time, like, he discovered the Orthodox Church. He didn't really tell us first. But he started learning about it on his own and had kind of decided for himself that he was going to convert to that. And rather than just saying, "See you guys later, I've decided to convert, like, I'm out," he decided to kind of start introducing the Orthodox Church like to the church that I was attending at that time. And so he kind of started just talking about it and like teaching a church history class and kind of saying like there's still a church that like worships in the same way as the ancient church, like, and just like slowly started introducing it to people. And I mean, I lived in a town of about 3,000 people, and our church was already super small to begin with. But about half the families, I would say, that attended there left, and the other half converted to Orthodoxy. And so my family was a part of the one that stayed. Okay. And so since I was about 13, 14 at the time, it wasn't like a conscious decision that I made to convert. Like, I probably could have voiced concerns about it to my parents and stuff, because like religion and faith like was a really big thing in our family, and it was something that I thought about a lot. But it was something that I did along with my family.
So did that church then, I'm sorry, can you, do you remember the name of that that church?
Yeah, it's Holy Transfiguration Orthodox Church.
Holy Transfiguration.
And they would probably have some interesting stories if you wanted to talk to people who attend there.
Totally. And so, okay, so the whole, like pretty much the half the church went through just like the process of, okay, can you, what did that, I'm just going off script like, a little bit.
Yeah, no worries.
Did that look like for like, that's like half of, for half of a congregation? What did that look, just everybody converting? What did that look like?
So there were kind of two separate things that happened, because the process for our pastor was a little different, because he was intending to become a priest. And so not only did he have to go through the conversion process with the rest of us, which entails a period of being a catechumen, like you're being catechized into the dogma of the church and kind of learning about the tradition and the history of it and stuff like that. And you typically do that along with your spiritual father, who is typically your parish priest, but we didn't have that. So he kind of, there was a church in Wichita that kind of like took us under their wing, and we became like a mission church. And so he attended an Orthodox seminary and like learned basically everything that you need to become a priest, and the rest of us attended classes at the Orthodox Cathedral in Wichita. And so it was kind of interesting, because like looking back at it as an adult, like I never went through an official catechism. Like there was kind of adult classes, and they really discussed like the theology and the dogma and just like different things like that, and then there was kind of like a kids class. And like we talked about things, and we mostly talked about like the rituals of the church and like how worship works and like different stories of saints and like stories from the Bible and things like that. But it, just because we were kids, it wasn't really at the same level. So I haven't really gone through the same process that like I would have if I had decided to convert to Orthodoxy as an adult. But basically, like after ending that period of teaching and kind of people had had a chance to really see what the church was like and if this was something they really wanted to do, then those of us that wanted to become Orthodox, like all either got baptized or chrismated. Like if you'd had a Trinitarian baptism before, you don't have to get re-baptized, but there's like a chrismation service where you get anointed with oil, and it's kind of like part of the baptism service, so we all did that together.
Okay, did you guys do that in Wichita or at your,
yeah, we did it in Wichita.
So did you continue going to Holy Transfiguration after you were you converted?
So that was when I was just starting high school. And so for the rest of high school I was there, and then it's kind of surprising like how many Orthodox churches there actually are in Kansas. Yeah, there was a mission in Manhattan also where I went to college, St. Mary Magdalene, and they're still there. It's a pretty small group, but they also have like kind of a house that they meet in, or just like an informal building that they use. But that's where I went during college. And then after college, for a while, I actually went to St. Basil's in Kansas City. They're an Antiochian Orthodox church. And I was there for a couple of years before I moved here. But yeah, I've kind of been church hopping.
That, I mean, there are a lot of Orthodox churches in Kansas, but not as many as you would like think if you went to. Okay, what church do you go to currently, and where is it, and what's the name?
Yeah, so I go to St. Nicholas Orthodox Church here in Lawrence, and it's over on Iowa. Yeah, that's
cool.
That's my church home right now.
Thank you. So you already sort of talked about what the process of conversion looked like for you. So how long did it take, would you say?
I'm trying to remember, because it can be kind of a lengthy process. Like from the point that our church like first found out about Orthodoxy and the point that we actually were baptized, I would say that was at least a year, if not a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And that's not really uncommon. Like, there's a number of catechumens at our church right now. And it just kind of, like, it's up to the priest that you're meeting with and you're kind of going through that material with. Like, they can kind of see if some people are ready, like, sooner than others. But I think they really want to give people a chance to, like, see what the theology is, like, see what the church is like, and just realize that that's kind of a decision with some gravity to it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, after a chance to kind of learn that and read some books and learn about, like, the tradition of the church as well as the scriptures and things like that. And then just, like, any, like, family considerations and, like, if that's going to be a difficult thing, like, mm-hmm. with your partner or with your family, just, like, kind of taking all of that into account, like, when you're ready. Yeah, I would say that that can take, like, at least a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So can you tell me a little bit about what worship services look like? And since you've been to a couple different Orthodox churches, maybe mm-hmm. some of the differences between them, okay. if you've noticed a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool.
Orthodox worship is, like, really... It really engages, like, all of your senses. Like, I'm sure if you've ever walked into an Orthodox church, like, you said how beautiful it was. Mm-hmm. Like, there's obviously a really rich visual, just kind of aesthetic. You mm-hmm. have, like, the icons, and those are kind of, like, directing you towards those people, like, when you pray. There's the incense that you can smell. There's, like, the chanting and the bells and, like, the mm-hmm. censer and things like that that you can hear. There's, like, the bread and the wine that you can taste, mm-hmm. And just, like, all these different things that kind of draw you in, like, your whole body. And so, like, not just mm-hmm. your soul or your spirit, like, going mm-hmm. off somewhere while you're worshiping. It's, like, really engaging the whole person.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, some of the big differences that I noticed, like, I have sung in the church, like, ever since I was little. Mm-hmm. And so the music is probably one of the biggest differences that I notice. Mm-hmm. I grew up doing Byzantine chant, and so that's kind of like a really more minor melodic, like, written for one voice type of thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, in the church that I'm in now, like, the mm-hmm. it's more four-part harmony, mm-hmm. or it's more written for a group to sing together, and it's just, like, a little bit of different sound.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Okay. Very mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah.
What do you think is, for you personally, is the most meaningful part of a worship service?
Like, the liturgy is kind of centered around, like, preparing people to participate in the sacrament of the Eucharist or mm-hmm. communion. So that, I would say, is probably the central part. Like, all the hymnography is kind of, like, leading up to that, mm-hmm. and, like, all of the symbolism in the service is kind of leading up to that.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
Sorry, I didn't see anything on the calendar.
Yeah, I didn't block it off. Sorry, that's my bad. Do you need a space, Kristen?
Oh, I was just going to let Alex in. He's going to do something with the computer, but okay. How much longer do you think you'll be?
20 minutes?
Okay, I'll tell you to come back tomorrow.
Okay, thank you.
I'm so sorry. yes, the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard that a lot because it's the, you know, the central thing.
Yeah, but it's also cool. Like, I would say that's the central part of the mm-hmm. liturgy, but it's also kind of just everybody participating in the liturgy together. Like mm-hmm. the community of the church is really important too, mm-hmm. and just the fact that everyone is kind of doing this together. Like, that's also a really cool part about the liturgy. And not only, like, we have a pretty small church here, and some of the services there's, like, maybe two or three people at. Sunday morning is obviously better attended, but it's just kind of cool to think that, like, all the different churches in the different time zones, like, around the world, like, this is always going on somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it really reminds us, like, of heaven. And, like, if you walk into church late, that's kind of something to remind you of heaven too, that, like, this kind of worship is always going on, like, whether you're there or not, and it's kind of your choice to, like, enter into it. And I think that's pretty cool too.
That's very cool. Can you tell me about maybe some of your favorite experiences within the church, like holidays, celebrations, mm-hmm. Outstanding events, anything like that?
So my favorite part, like, the Orthodox Church is very cyclical. Like, mm-hmm. there's saints that are celebrated almost every day, and we have like the cycle of services throughout the year that kind of centers around events in Christ's life and mm-hmm. is kind of leading up to, well, we have Christmas obviously and like mm-hmm. the fast before that, but Easter is the big one for us, Pascha. Mm-hmm. And so my favorite part of the church year is the cycle of services in Lent. Mm-hmm. And it can be like kind of a strenuous time actually, because there's like more church than normal and there's like all these fasting restrictions and things like that, but it's actually like really refreshing and renewing to like go through all of those services together with the people in your parish. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like there's a lot of hymnography that kind of speaks to people who are listening, that's like talking about like today we're celebrating this feast, like it's kind of drawing you into this like eternal time, like as if you were present at the event. And it's just really neat to have that hymnography to like remind you about what happened in the life of Christ, and also just getting to participate in some of the really special services and like hear the music that you only hear once a year.
And, yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah. really cool.
Are you in the choir?
Mm-hmm.
So you're in the choir, and I don't know, do you sing that mm-hmm. hymnography during that part of the year? Very mm-hmm. cool. Very cool. So you're the first woman I've interviewed mm-hmm. actually out of, I think, 6 interviews mm-hmm. That I've had with Eastern Orthodox folks. Can you tell me maybe how you think your experiences might differ a little bit from men in the Orthodox Church?
Yeah, I was looking at that question mm-hmm. and I was kind of like,
yeah, I don't know. Kind of a difficult question, I guess.
I understand why yeah. you would want to ask it too, uh-huh. but I have not really thought about my experience in that way a lot. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's kind of an obvious thing, I guess, to look at the Orthodox Church and see, like, kind of a male hierarchy of, like, mm-hmm. priests and bishops and things like that. Mm-hmm. And women can't take on those roles in the Orthodox Church right now. And it's probably, like, kind of easy to see those things as limitations, but I guess I've never really felt mm-hmm. that way about it. And one of the reasons, just kind of thinking about this in the last couple days since you gave me these questions, is we have, like, such a rich like tradition of saints and like recording the saints' lives and stuff, and there are so many just different examples of like how you can be a saint, and like mm-hmm. there's just as many women in there as men, and there's like there's mothers, there's wives, there's people who have never been married, and it's really interesting to see like how all of those different paths can like still allow you to lead a holy life, and it's just like something I've never really felt limited about, I guess. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's something else. The other thing that I think is really cool is like the saint that we have that's like the pinnacle of like what we would wish to attain as a human being, mm-hmm. I suppose, is the Mother of God, and like she's a woman, and I think it's really neat that like a mother and a woman can be like that example and that pinnacle for us. Like, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic, thank you mm-hmm. for that. Can you tell me about some of the fellowship activities within the church, like at St. Nicholas or at any mm-hmm. of the other churches that you've attended?
Yeah.
Just sort of like outside of worship.
Mm-hmm. So every church that I've been to at a minimum mm-hmm. has a meal or at least some kind of snack and coffee like after uh-huh. liturgy on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
But especially at this church, we do a potluck, like a full potluck on Sundays. And it's just like a really close-knit group of people. Like we actually do a lot together outside church.
Mm-hmm.
But like in the cycle of services for Lent that I was telling you about, like there's extra services during the middle of the week, but we always have like a soup dinner together after that. And sometimes we'll like talk about a book or something afterwards, or we'll just sit around and chat.
Mm-hmm.
But like food has been really central in like just getting together and spending time together, like outside church or like in activities associated with church. There's also St. Nicholas currently has like an adult education, like book club, basically a book study. So people get together and like have a beer and like talk about books and stuff outside of church. And sometimes that's like a book on theology, but sometimes it's a book on politics or it's literature, it's a novel or something like that. And so it's just like another extension of like our life in the church. Like we go to each other's homes and we kind of share food and stuff like that. And we talk about this literature, like in relation to our faith. And so that's pretty cool too.
Totally.
Trying to think other kinds of fellowship activities. Like we have work days at the church. We'll get together and kind of help clean up or work on repairs and stuff. But yeah, coffee hour is the big one that happens on a weekly basis.
Coffee hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like, especially at Christmas and Easter, like we have the midnight liturgies. Mm-hmm. So like church starts really late at night and we have the liturgy like coming into the new day and we'll have like a really big meal after that with like really fancy food and like drinks and stuff. And that's really cool too.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Anything else you think I should know or anyone else I should talk to? Any other stories or any other sort of things you would like to share about? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't know, like, when you gave me these questions, I didn't know if it would be an issue that, like, my conversion experience was not necessarily something I chose myself.
Oh, no, like, no, not at all.
But I think it would be interesting maybe to talk to some other people from Holy Transfiguration. I know you might be getting to the end of your project, and I don't know, like, how far out you want to travel or, like, how many people you want to recruit, but that was just an interesting experience because the town was like so, it was like pretty heavily Mennonite and like liturgical religion was just something that was really foreign to a lot of people. And so there was like a lot of hesitation and just kind of like suspicion of the church. Like when our church became an Orthodox church, like people thought it was kind of cultish or like they weren't really comfortable with the idea of like having saints and icons. Like it seemed like idol worship to them or like something they were really suspicious of. And so like for people's families and like the community around that church, like it was really hard actually, that process. But it's really cool too, and a lot of people got exposed to the Orthodox Church that probably never would have otherwise.
Yeah.
And like there's probably a lot of people there that have some interesting stories
too. I will definitely look into that. Thank you so much. All right. Before we conclude, anything else?
I mean, those were kind of the off the top of my head responses to some of these questions.
Totally.
So
All right, well, thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.